welcome back to It's a New Day. It is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. We welcome you to this segment of our program. We are thrilled this morning to welcome the Montgomery County Sheriff, Russell Bono. Russell, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff Bono. We're just so happy to have you with us this morning. And also, Nancy Becker, our Montgomery County Recorder of Deeds, is with us. Nancy, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so happy to have you both with us.
And it really is a privilege. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedules to be on the air as we kind of look to educate people as to what their local officials are doing in the community and kind of tell them the impact that that has in their lives.
Sheriff Bono, I see that this sheriff's office in Montgomery County was established in 1784. This has been an office held by many people through the years, and you took over just about a year ago, as I understand it.
That's correct.
A vacancy.
It was March 12th. Mm-hmm. March 12th. Yes, mm-hmm. The previous sheriff Eileen Bear resigned to take another position, and I was appointed by Governor Corbett and unanimously affirmed by the state senate to fill out the remainder of her term.
Now, you had been the Norristown Chief of Police before that, correct?
That's correct. I was a Norristown police officer for 42 years. I started there as a patrol officer and worked my way up through every rank in the department. And my last 15 years, I was the chief of police, yes.
You've seen many things through the years, I'm sure.
I certainly have.
How has your experience as a police officer and police chief prepared you for this new position as sheriff?
Well, obviously, it's been very helpful. As you said, I've seen a lot of things in my career. And being a police officer is a little different in that you're out on the front lines. The police officers are the ones that arrest the bad guys. And then once they're arrested, now they have to go to court. And that's where the sheriff's department comes in. It's the sheriff's function to provide security for all the judges in Montgomery County, for the courthouse, and to transport prisoners to and from court, pick them up at state prisons, or Montgomery County Prison, bring them to the court, bring them back. We also serve bench warrants that are issued by judges. We serve civil papers. We conduct sheriff's cells. It's a very, very busy department that a lot of people don't realize what's going on. We have a bomb unit that actually is in charge of a Tri-County area, responding for bomb calls. We have a canine unit, trained drug dogs, trained patrol dogs. So it's really a full-service department, and I'm very, very fortunate to be in the position I'm in and really enjoying the job.
Sheriff Bono, Michael Evans here. I just wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing in our county, which you go ahead and tell me, which may have been thrown to the wayside, if that's the right term that could be used. Going after some parents who have not necessarily been paying child support, DUI offenders not showing up for their court dates. Could you go ahead and explain what you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. And I wouldn't term it as thrown to the wayside. I mean, it to me, when I came in, I did a quick assessment of the sheriff's office, and it's just setting priorities, I believe. And one of my biggest priorities is that people accept responsibility. I'm a big proponent of personal responsibility.
That's something lacking in some of our governmental leadership today. Thank you for doing that.
Sure. So one of the things I noticed was that deadbeat parents, there are a lot of deadbeat parents out there representing millions of dollars in unpaid child support, and it just wasn't a priority. It was done on an annual basis. They would usually, previous sheriffs would go out and round up these people once a year, and I didn't think that was sufficient enough, so we began to put their pictures. I suggested we put their pictures on social media, which we do. We began getting tips. We made it a priority. We go out at least monthly, and we just started the program in April, and so far we've gotten over 300 parents, because it's not always men. I'm not saying dads, but it's 300 parents, and close to $4 million in arrears for child support. So it's been a very successful program, and we're going to continue to move that forward. Just recently, we teamed up with District Attorney Risa Furman to do the same thing on a DUI for DUI offenders. You would be shocked at the number of DUI offenders who never show up for court, or if they do show up for court and are sentenced, never show up for sentencing. So we've made that a priority, to go out and try to track down these people using social media and bring them in and let them be responsible for their actions.
I was going to say...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I was going to say, were you using social media in the same avenue you were using for parents who haven't been paying child support? I mean, talk about a new use for that media.
The response has been outstanding. We get so many helpful hints and tips from people as to where to locate individuals. We just recently brought back someone from Florida who thought they were safe down in Florida. Multiple bench warrants out for this individual's arrest, and we located him. And, you know, he was living in Florida under an assumed name and working at Disney World as some kind of maintenance.
You know, it's funny. And I actually lived in Florida for many number of years before I came up here to the southeast Pennsylvania region. And down in Florida, down in the south, really, south of the Mason-Dixon line, the sheriffs are what it's all about. You see the state police, you know, they're usually, you know, there was like Florida Highway Patrol, you know, they're on the highways, and the state police were definitely there. It's not like they weren't there, but the sheriff's departments were really the ones who were the main law enforcement agencies. And I find that up in the north, that in the northeast specifically, that that's not really the case. It's more of the state police, and people don't really think of the sheriff as having any kind of influence on what happens in their society. They don't, you know, they may not even know that they actually have an active sheriff. So the fact that you're doing things kind of shows how the office, because you are elected, shows how the office can really have an impact on the community and for the better and be innovative. I mean, you're using social media to track down offenders. I mean, that's terrific. That's wonderful. And it's been very successful.
It has been. And we're very proud of the program, and we're always looking for ways to expand it. We're now on Twitter, and you know, we're doing everything we can to get the word out to that we're looking for these individuals. And why? I mean, once again, I go back to personal responsibility. It's just something that I believe everyone should have, and would be a much better world and country if everyone just accepted their own responsibilities.
And Sheriff Bono, I don't know if all citizens realize this, but the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of the county. That's true, I guess, across the state in Pennsylvania for all sheriffs.
Yeah, according to the Pennsylvania Constitution, right. that is true. Yes,
under the Constitution, while most police work is now done by local and state police, the sheriff's broad powers authorize you and your deputies to enforce the law.
So that's correct.
You're the one who's called upon if there are riots or prison breaches or strikes or any emergencies or breach of the peace. You're the ones who are empowered to respond and to call upon able-bodied adults to help.
That is correct. Yes, according to the state constitution, that power rests with the sheriff. So yes, and we work very closely with. There was no division between the sheriff's department and local law enforcement or the state police.
Mm-hmm.
It's one big cooperative effort, and that's the way it has to be for us to be successful.
How many people are in your department, in your office? How many people do you supervise?
I supervise 110 deputies and 25 civilian staff.
How does a person become a deputy?
Well, there's a selection. You have to obviously fill out an application first and meet. We have some very stiff standards. We do a physical training standard now. We do a very comprehensive background investigation, looking into, an applicant's background is very important because it's a law enforcement position. It's a position of trust, and we only want the brightest and the best, and that's what I've been striving for since I've gotten there. So we hope to continue that. Deputies today, or when I first got on the police department, in all honesty, deputy sheriffs did not have a lot of training. They were mostly seen as just political hacks who would sit in a courtroom and watch the judge. And that's no longer the case. The men and women in the sheriff's department are 100% professional. They're required to undergo 19 weeks of intense training up at Penn State University. Mm-hmm. In order to be certified. They're now certified deputy sheriffs. So the professionalism level has risen tremendously since I've been on.
That's very interesting.
Sheriff Bono, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Well, I want to kind of transition a little bit to Nancy. I know you're on the line with us too, Nancy Becker. We've got Nancy Becker, recorder of deeds for Montgomery County, and Sheriff Bono, who is the sheriff for Montgomery County. Nancy, you there with us?
I am. And since this is an election year, I really appreciate the opportunity to tell your listeners about these very important offices that they will be asked to vote on in the primary in May, but most importantly in the election in November. It seems like everybody knows who the commissioners are because they're the ones that make the headlines. They're the ones that are
right
there. But there are other offices, and they're very important offices. For instance, the clerk of courts. That is the clerk of the criminal court, and they really keep all of the records from all criminal cases. And I understand it's a computerized index docket, and the records are kept for all the documents. They also collect all the court costs and restitutions that have been awarded by our judges. So, again, a very important office. The coroner, I guess, is explanation enough. The coroner is called in if there is a death that is suspicious, at which time an autopsy is done.
Nancy, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off there. We're going to a break. I'd love to continue the conversation. And just this new break, call us at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. We'll be back.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power test.
Sorry about that, Nancy. You still here?
35 years.
Okay, so we've got about 2 minutes and we'll be back on. I'm sorry. I should have told you about that. When you hear the music playing underneath, we've got about 30 seconds. So we're off the air right now, so don't worry about it. We're not talking on the air.
Call us year.
Hold on. Sorry, Susan.
Is the sheriff still on the line?
Years in a row.
Yes.
We can provide the same service.
Awesome. So we're going to have a minute 25 here?
Reasonable prices.
So, we'll just keep on going the vein that you're going in, kind of telling us about the different local offices, what they do, and their importance.
And one of the questions I'd like to ask you, Sheriff Bono, is there any such thing as a typical day? And if so, what is a typical day like for the sheriff? So maybe you can be thinking about that while Nancy's talking about... the row officer.
Are you discouraged and paralyzed?
All right, so we got about a minute. Same thing as before. I'm going to go ahead and pot everything down. You may not hear us for a little bit, but when you hear the music and hear the introductions, we'll be back on the air. Okay?
A biblical roadmap for renewal will bring you that hope. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I want to urge you to attend the one-day Pennsylvania Pastor Network U-Turn Conference on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. This powerful program will equip pastors, church leaders, and concerned Americans alike to know the truth, stand in the gap to defend it, and to take action now. Join me, along with Christian historian David Barton of Wall Builders, researcher George Barner, pilot and author Steve Scheibner, and many others. Don't miss this powerful event on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. God is raising up a remnant in America for this time. Are you part of that remnant? Come to the U-Turn Conference and find out. Go to uturnconference.org and register today to receive group rates. That uturnconference.org.
That's 610-539-TALK. Or you can call in at 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. If you have a question for your recorder of deeds or your sheriff of Montgomery County, go ahead and call in. We have Nancy and Sheriff Bono. Nancy Becker, who is recorder of deeds here at Montgomery County, and Sheriff Bono, who is the sheriff of Montgomery County. Been having a great conversation. How are you all doing this morning? This is a nice little southern welcome.
Doing well. We could use some southern weather.
Yeah, we could. Definitely.
Fine.
Yeah, you know, I was born in New Jersey, but then moved down to Florida. I lived there for most of my life. We moved down when I was one. My parents are both born in New York. My dad was born in Queens. My mom was born in Central New York. So I'm a northerner, but I lived my whole life in Florida. So like I'm I'm just everywhere. And they still called me a Yankee down there in Florida. Did you know that? I walked around with sandals and was, and even say y'all from every now.
But you
every
weren't speaking Southern.
I wasn't speaking Southern, apparently. I wasn't Southern enough. I was still a Yankee. So, great to have you guys on the show this morning. Nancy, you were telling us a little bit about the different local offices.
Right. We were talking about the coroner's office, and, they're called in if there's a suspicious death, if it's a homicide, for sure. Or just sometimes even the funeral directors will call in the coroner because once they, get the body, they think something might be amok. So it's a very, very important position. The controller is the watchdog of the county funds, and that function is to look at all monies coming in and all monies coming out.
Now, Nancy, I'm sorry, if I could, I just want to clarify for our listeners. Are all of these elected positions you're talking about?
These are all elected positions, and all of these positions will be on the ballot, both in the primary and in the general election in November.
I didn't realize the coroner was elected.
Yep.
Really? Huh.
I just have to insert something here. When I sat down, Nancy, you sat down with us a while back,
wonder
and we're explaining all of the
sorry about that.
The various facets of your position as Recorder of Deeds, and I was fascinated. It never occurred to me all the different things that you cover. So I'm sure it's the same for all of these positions.
Yes.
Like controller must be quite an interesting position too.
Right. They actually audit every department in the county, both the row offices and also the various departments that are overseen by our commissioners. So, again, it's a very, very important role. Of course, the district attorney, again, this is a high-profile office that everybody seems to know about. Our district attorney, Risa Furman, is in the news often, and she does an amazing job. So that's an office that people are aware of. But we also have a prothonotary. Most people can't pronounce it.
It's prothonotary?
Pathonotary. And not all states have pathonotaries. Only the commonwealths do. So this is something unique to our commonwealth. And again, this is the clerk of the civil courts. So anything that happens civilly, somebody suing one another, somebody puts a lien against somebody's home, a mechanic's lien, someone is in an accident and they're supposed to pay a certain amount back and they don't. That's all filed in the pathonotary's office. He also administers all the passports. Administers the oath and affirmations, anybody changing a name, custody cases, all the district justice appeals, divorces, all of that held in the pathonotary's office. Again, an office that not very many people hear about, know about, unless they're in that situation, but a very important office. And so when you vote, you should really look at the qualifications of these people because this affects our county. We also have the Register of Wills. That is an elected official. And in addition to being the Register of Wills, they're the clerk of the Orphans Court. So they do things like probate wills. They also petition for adoption. Again, a very important office that, again, people should be aware of what the office does and to make sure that the qualifications of the person are really good.
Now, Nancy, where can our listeners get information about those who are running for these offices so that they can make more of an informed decision come election time?
Well, usually there's a voter's guide that will come out in the newspaper, and they talk about the various offices and the people running and their qualifications. They don't really talk about what the office functions are. So often as I go throughout the county, people really have no idea what these row offices do. you know, like with the Recorder of Deeds, when we started the veterans program, they were saying, why are you doing that? Shouldn't that be the Veterans Affairs? Well, part of our charge was to record the veterans' discharges, and that's why we started the program, to really help our veterans. And then the last office is the treasurer, and the treasurer, of course, is the custodian of our county funds. Can you imagine a more important office than that?
No.
Not really. That's funds seem to be the talk of a lot of federal government, and should be the talk of local government, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. It certainly should. So, but Susan, I think you had a question for Sheriff Bono.
I do have a question for Sheriff Bono. I was wondering about this. I wonder if there's any such thing as a typical day for the sheriff, and if so, what that would look like.
Well, anyone who's ever been in law enforcement will tell you there is no such thing as a typical day.
You
just never know from one moment to the next, let alone one day to the next.
Isn't that the
but
truth?
Typically, you know, for the sheriff's department, it would be to pick up the prisoners early in the morning and get them down to the county, down to the courthouse, and get them before a judge so they could, you know, get their due process. But, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, a typical day started out typically, and then, you know, we received two bomb threats,
right.
You know, requiring
right.
the evacuation of the courthouse. And so that's the kind of stuff you just never know, but mm-hmm. you always have to be prepared for.
Is there a lot of training that goes on with your people to be prepared for things like that?
There is an enormous amount of training, and there mm-hmm. has to be. We constantly train on those types of situations and everything we do. Mm-hmm. Deputies need firearm training on a regular basis, defensive tactics training, civil training, how to deal with people, how to deal with irate people. It's just a constant, almost daily basis of rotating training. Every deputy gets so much training every year.
Sounds like a fascinating job that requires a lot of wisdom.
It requires a lot of wisdom, but it requires a lot of cooperation from the men and women that work for me. And they are really the ones that they make the job a pleasure. I have to say that. They're wonderful.
How often was that like the Montgomery County office you're talking about that received those bomb threats?
The courthouse.
Yes, it was the courthouse, Montgomery County Courthouse. Yes.
How often does that happen?
Fortunately,
hopefully that's not a regular occurrence.
Hopefully not. It doesn't happen very often. However, it's happened twice since I've been the sheriff. So I hope there's no connection there. But
well, that's just dandy. Not anything towards you, Sheriff Bono. No, I'm just talking about the bomb threats in general there. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a tremendous project to evacuate that courthouse.
Not only once
it's evacuated, but once it is evacuated, to search it, to render it secure so that people can come back in.
How many dogs do you have to work
with? We have three. We have three canine dogs of our own, but we have the ability, as I said earlier, about cooperation between law enforcement. We had 18 canine dogs in here that day that we called in from various departments, including the state police and SEPTA and, you know, all the local departments. Because the job is so big to search, that courthouse has thousands of offices and nooks and crannies.
Right.
So.
Well, Nancy, Sheriff Bono, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to head to a break here, telling you what's going on in the local community. Thank you again for being on the radio.
With you. Thank you so much.
We'll be back.
Thanks for having us.
Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Now it's that time of the show, the time of the show that we all so treasure, or at least I treasure. It's a nice break from everything. It's a nice break from all the news in the day. It is that time for Facepalm.
What is this?
Made in Mars! Top of the world!
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
What you just said
is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Oh, it's time. Let those palms hit the face. There's another news story that just broke that is made it to Team Facepalm. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful award. I'll go ahead and just speak for the article who won this award. Thank you so much. This is just something I've always wanted in my whole life. I've wanted to be known for making people roll their eyes and go, what is this world coming to? Just thank you so much for this award. This is just absolutely wonderful. Bus passengers who urinated on a beehive are stung in some unfortunate places. That is the headline at metro.co.uk. And those English. And they got some crazy practices over there, I guess. I never knew about that. You would think most people don't need to be told not to wee on beehives. I think I can do that with an English accent. You'd think most people don't need to be told not to wee on beehives. I don't know what dialect of English that is, but well, let's look a little farther. Apparently, we expected too much from several bus passengers who received several bee stings to their private parts recently, after their bus pulled over at the side of the road to allow male passengers to relieve themselves. One of them thought it would be a good idea to wee on the hive swarming with bees. I can't read this. At which point, well, now I'm reading this right from the article. You can guess what happened. According to medics, 22 people had been attacked by the bees after stopping to relieve themselves on a highway in the central province. I'm sorry. This is an English article. I'm sorry. This is an English article. This did not happen in the UK. I'm sorry. Oh, what kind of journalism is that? Central province in Quang Ngai in Vietnam. Three of those stung had to be kept in hospital for observation after suffering swollen body parts and a high fever. The victims, who were passengers of a bus that was bound for the northern province of Phu Tho, if I'm saying that right, said that one of the men had apparently thought it was amusing to urinate on a beehive, provoking the angry reaction from the bees. Several of the men complained about being stung on the private parts, while the rest had been attacked on the face and hands by the bees, which also followed the passengers onto the bus to continue extracting? I think that's supposed to be exacting. I'm looking at the article here. Exacting, let's just go say exacting revenge. Susan, I would love to hear your thoughts.
I don't think there's much to say about this, Michael. I think we can move on.
We should have some intelligent commentary on the dangers.
I don't think there's too much
of urinating on beehives.
No, I think we'll move on.
No, well, we've got more. We always have more. We always have more in Team Facepalm. That's what always gets me. There's never a shortage of articles. You just have to search in Google funny news or stupid news, and it all just likes to go and say, "Here I am." Oh, let's see. What else do we have? This is one that we could seriously talk about. This was done by the Huffington Post. Trevor Moore shows why being high in church is the worst thing ever. For those of you who don't know, there was a rap released by Trevor Moore on YouTube called High in Church. Now, it is very, well, it's not graphic, but there's a lot of profanity in it. Let's just say that. In a short from the comedian's new one-hour special, Trevor Moore, High in Church, which premieres on Comedy Central Friday, so this was the video that they're showing on the Huffington Post is from YouTube. On Comedy Central Friday, Moore stars as a hapless man-child whose stoner friends goad him into smoking too much weed and taking shrooms, and perhaps a little cocaine, too. They're interrupted by Moore's mother, who drags the group to a midnight Christmas service. I didn't know this was during Christmas. Well, that kind of makes sense. I remember watching the video and sitting there, and they did have a picture of the nativity. So, oh, that's just absolutely wonderful. As the drugs start to kick in, here's a quote from it. "I'm high in church. Oh, God, please help me. This is the worst." That's actually a little bit from the rap. I don't recommend maybe watching it, but that's one of those moments. We could probably talk a little bit about this. Susan, just shaking your head over there. SMH, just shaking my head.
Well, my personal
that bad, huh?
Personal opinion is it's just an example of the irreverence that is so commonplace anymore, and it seems to me that it keeps getting worse at an exponential rate. Just turning on the television to watch something, you know, fun or wholesome with your family, then up comes a commercial that's just outrageous, or I don't know. It's just it insults the sensitivities of people who trying to do what's right.
Yeah, it's like, Lord Jesus, have mercy on this nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about this could easily go into the legalizing marijuana, and he actually is head of an advocate group for legalizing marijuana. It's kind of a comedy group, but that's one of his, I guess, political lobbying activities, if it can be called that. He's a comedian, of course, so it's always going to have that edge to it, but here's a little bit more. Let's see. Luckily, Moore pulls himself together. See, the devil actually comes up in this and says, your soul is essentially mine because you're high in church. And Moore responds and basically says that the devil is just part of his subconscious, which this is what a lot of people honestly think about the devil and think about heaven, too. Quote, I exist within subconsciousness down in your mind, but you did drugs and went to church, so now your soul is mine. Despite the clever poetry there, that's not really completely accurate in the sense of, well, yeah, a sin. I don't know. I feel like this actually brings up a lot of, interestingly enough, actually brings up a lot of big cultural issues, because it is in popular culture. Let's see. Luckily, Moore pulls himself together to rebut the devil. A joint and a couple of caps and stems. Is that all that a soul is worth? God made everything I've done, and all of it's from the earth. God also made lava. I don't think he meant for you to drink that. I don't think he meant for you to jump in it either. My goodness. What in the world where is the logic? Because this is what most comedians do. They sit there, and for the most part, in general, I would think, most comedians tend to be very intelligent, and they actually tend to be very tongue-in-cheek. And while it's funny, and a lot of the stuff they put up is funny, it's like many things musicians put into their songs. It may be a great tune that you're kind of head-bopping to, but it's got some really deep principles and ideologies embedded within it. And we find that here. I don't understand. It's an excuse, I guess, to do drugs. That's the best of what I can bring it up to. A joint, a couple of caps and stems, is that all a soul is worth? God made everything I've done, and all of it's from the earth. I don't think just because God made mushrooms or made marijuana, I don't think he meant for you to smoke it. And two, there's a lot of things that God made that you probably shouldn't eat. I don't think he made everything for us to eat. I mean, what, can you eat dirt? If you want to look, that's kind of what a mushroom does. A mushroom actually grows out of the dirt and helps in decomposition. Possibly that's a warning sign. Susan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking that there's a longing in every heart. Everyone has this, what they call that God-sized hole or something, and everyone's searching, and lost people do lost things. You can't, it's just that I think until the soul finds rest in God and joy and hope and the just that peace that comes from the Lord, there's always a searching for the higher high, the something that will fill that void. So this is just the way it is, that this is human nature and that this is what goes on. But there is an answer for this. There is there is one who can help and fill that void in people's lives. And what happens is that it goes into the irreverent, God is holy. So just saying that there is another way. There is God's way, which brings great joy and peace.
Well, I think a lot of people in today's, and we're getting close to a break, but I want to continue this talk on this, that a lot of people think that following God, Christianity, they go, what joy really is in it? So they'll do things like this, and they'll go to drugs and sit there and be like, there's no problem with it. And then we start getting into that classic postmodern view that sits there and says, well, you know, there's no right or wrong. It's really whatever we want to make up. God, the devil's just part of my consciousness. We'll be back in just a minute on It's a New Day. We'll be back.
What is this?
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's out of my way strong. Even in the park, playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
Tune in to Horsepower for an Hour Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WFYL 1180 a.m. near Valley Forge, the cradle of liberty. Horsepower for an Hour is your ultimate stop for automotive radio. Donnie and Spence bring you everything automotive. Horsepower for an Hour every Saturday at 8 a.m. on WFYL 1180 a.m. working for your liberty.
It's the Horsepower for an Hour Show.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
March 4th was Inauguration Day up until 1937, when it was changed to January 20th. Every president acknowledged a supreme being in their inaugural address. Thomas Jefferson referred to that infinite power which rules the destinies of the universe. Andrew Jackson, my fervent prayer to that almighty being. Abraham Lincoln, the Almighty has his own purposes. FDR, we humbly ask the blessing of God. John F. Kennedy, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
In Ephesians 6:15, the Apostle Paul identifies the third piece of spiritual armor essential to success against the cunning deceptions of the devil. Having first put on the truth, then the breastplate of righteousness, we're literally told to put on the gospel shoes. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Shoes are critical for stability, balance, mobility, and quick response for advancement in battle. The gospel shoes are essential for winning the spiritual battle with the devil, flesh, and the world. Only the good news of salvation by faith in Christ alone gives truth, hope, and peace to all who believe. Only the gospel has already won victory over sin, death, and the devil. Only the gospel gives balance, stability, protection, and a sure foundation on which to walk. Only the gospel of peace can protect our feet and ensure we stand tall in the fight. We can stand against the devil and our feet not slip. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul and urging you to put on the right shoes today, the gospel shoes.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
We've got our Ukrainian update lined up for you here. I want to finish our conversation that we were having on our facepalm segment. Got a little segment going into another one here, but Trevor Moore and his video being high in church. Honestly, the music is pretty appropriate for that too, in one aspect, but I want to go ahead and talk about a little bit why this really shows a little bit more of our culture than perhaps we'd like, perhaps maybe some older generations would like. This postmodern view that, and again, this was a comedy sketch, but it really had a lot more to it than just comedy, as with everything. I mean, every comedian every once in a while seems to throw in a political jab. If not a political jab, maybe something for a cause. It's kind of like actors in Hollywood. They seem to be supporting all these different causes for one reason or another, and no one knows why, but they seem to, at some point in their career, become an outspoken advocate for one cause or another. And this seems to be with Hollywood stars. That usually gets reported a lot. But with our comedian here, Trevor Moore, there's a quote from The Wrap: "I exist within subconsciousness down in your mind, but you did drugs and went to church. So now your soul is mine." I'd love to talk about how that is absolutely not true. "I exist within subconsciousness down in your mind." I think today in our society, we like to put everything under our control. And we get very afraid when things are out of our control. I think that's part of the reason that we have such a huge postmodernist ideal that's spread out across our country and honestly across all of Western culture, not just confined here to the United States. "A joint and a couple of caps and stems is that all a soul is worth. God made everything I've done and all of it's from the earth." I love how God gets blamed for this. Why is that? Had anyone thought, and people may be watching this, I wonder, if, or watching this video or listening to the show, I wonder if anyone, because that's a thought that I had. Why does everyone, why is God blamed for this?
Well, I think this is a perfect lead-in, Michael, to something that I wanted to share this morning. We have an update here from Sam Rohrer from the American Pastors Network, and I hadn't even realized it until I looked at it a little more closely just now, but I want to mention, first of all, that Sam and David Kistler and Pastor Dr. Gary Dahl will be having a daily program beginning at noon, hopefully next week, here called Stand in the Gap Today. And they'll be discussing issues just like this on the air, and people can call in and ask or voice their opinions. But they were talking about the president's rather childish actions towards Netanyahu this week. And it made Sam recall the biblical statement in Isaiah 3:4 that says, quote, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." And Sam says, "Rulers, though they may have adult bodies, have the emotions and minds of little babes. No wisdom, no discernment, ruled by selfish motivations and driven by the immediate needs of the flesh. These princes, civil government rulers, conduct themselves like selfish and bratty children. You see, God has raised up our child rulers not for our blessing, but for our judgment. The nation, ours, which insists on keeping its back turned on our holy God, he is holy, will get ever more of his judgment. So when we see presidents and congressional leaders with no wisdom, no courage, no integrity, leaders who compromise what little wisdom they have with alcohol, women, or self-indulging selfies, understand why. To this problem, there is no quick nor easy fix. A single election will not produce a quick fix to our problems until we, as God's people, understand that in large part it is our dependency on ourselves, our idolatry, and spiritual adultery that has caused God to give us what we have, and that it is up to us to repent of our wicked ways and truly turn back to Him. He will not raise up the strong and the righteous to lead. Let us all commit ourselves to starting true repentance in our own hearts and lives and be more concerned about our own personal holiness and obedience to God than anything else. After all, anything less is idolatry, and that is our nation's problem." Those are the words of Sam Rohrer. And it just, that, Michael, what you were reading, those words from that video, made me think of that, because obviously they're not holy words, and they do blame God, and they're saying that, you know, the devil's not really a problem. He just is in your mind. It's foolishness. It's not true. The word holy just kept coming to me this morning. God is holy. And
I think a lot of people, especially my age, I'm a millennial, they sit there and go, well, what is the problem with that thought? What's the problem with
exactly.
the fact that,
right.
you know,
our senses
the devil,
have become quite dulled. I think, especially in the younger generation, sensitivity is dulled.
Right.
To this.
And I would suggest this a lot, especially to people of my generation. How can there be a world where we define right and wrong, where there is so much more in this world that is out of our control? Mm-hmm. For example, just the forces of nature. And really making an apologetic argument here from the Christian standpoint, but the forces of nature, gravity, the existence of things that are clearly out of our control, how can we assume that that ends at simply physical laws and does not extend into moral laws? And then the next question after that is, who governs those moral laws? If there is, and really we're going at the question of, is there a God? Is there really a God? Because this point of view comes from, no, there is no God. It's really just created in our own minds to ensure the security of the human race, maybe when we were not evolved as far along, or it's used as a way to put power over others. All you fill in the blank. Anyone can have their own opinion today, and you get everything. But how could there be a world in which we define things, in which, and this is a way I like to put it, 2 + 2 = 4. There's no way around that. There's no way around it. You can say that 2 + 2 = a fish. You can say that. But it doesn't change the fact that 2 + 2 will always equal 4. So people who think in that postmodernist mindset that they can define anything, that reality is whatever they want it to be, that it really doesn't matter, and honestly, that comes from, in a lot of ways, a lack of leadership across our nation and on exactly. and on the part of Christians too.
Exactly, and that's just what Sam was saying in this letter that I read.
But right. How can there be a postmodernist worldview in the world in which we live, which is so definite, which is measurable, which is, to and some would argue, either finite or infinite? Some people believe that the universe is infinite. They essentially make the universe God. But how can all of these different laws of nature, how can all of these fixed things happen, which are completely out of our control as humans, how can that coexist with a postmodern worldview? How can it? It is simply ignoring what's clearly put around you. There's actually scripture about that in Romans. Some people may say, well, I'm just throwing scripture at you. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Well, what if I told you that scripture is the truth, at least from my point of view, and that there's an explanation for it? We're out of time for our show today. We'd love to get a little bit more into those topics as we approach our next show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Folks, thanks for listening on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. All your news and updates coming right here.
Stay informed and have a wonderful day.
Take care.